for that, and thank you for that. And yeah, I appreciate the music this morning. And so today we do have this Alabama group here. So if I think I've seen some of you on our Zoom meeting, and it's good to see you all have arrived safely. And so we welcome you to our worship service, and knowing that looking forward to seeing how it goes on Wednesday night. So looking for that. But also you have planned a great week for you this week. And I don't know if you guys have met, just because I need to get this out of the way before we get done real quick. But Bob right there, Bob, he is the guy who's going to be showing you about the meal ministry, so you can find him easily when you're done. And so we do want you to make sure that you do partake in the meal with us as well. So we have our meal afterwards. But it is good to be here today. It is good to be here today. You serve a God like no other, because he is the living God. He is the one. He is the I Am, the Yahweh, and all that God's Word says that he is. He is. People are following all kinds and trying to find all kinds of other ways into the world and finding their own God, their own idols, and what they find out is it's always shortcoming. They're always chasing what they want their God to look like. And listen, I used to teach this, but you create your own. You'll hate that in the end. You'll hate it because we do things out of the flesh. But today, I want to share with you today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Luke. So welcome again, those of you from Alabama. If you're here and visiting here at New Life, I want to welcome you as well. I know there's some other visitors here today. Other families are out with their Christmas things. But today, we are here worshiping you and knowing that, worshiping the Lord here, knowing that he is the reason why we gather ourselves together. There is the story we'll be sharing. I love Silent Night, and especially seems to be when it's a cappella. It just has more power to it. But what a great night that is. But we'll be celebrating more of that as we get closer to Christmas. But today I want to share the joy of this whole Christmas. I want to share with you the joy of not what we receive from Christmas, which we'll share a little bit about that. But I want to share the story before Christmas. I want to share that story before the time of Christ's birth. And it begins in the book of Luke, and it begins in chapter 1 here. And we're going to see some testimonies from a person named Mary. We'll see a testimony from Elizabeth and Zechariah and from the Holy Spirit. And we will see that. And so I'm going to give you, we're going to read some scriptures this morning. We're going to read a lot. I'm going to read several. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But God has sent his angel Gabriel. You don't hear an angel give a name very often. And here we find this angel giving his name to Gabriel. His name is Gabriel, giving his name to Zechariah, meeting Zechariah in the time that the priest Zechariah had to go in and do some of the things that the priests do. And the angel was behind the tent there, behind the curtain, and speaking, telling him that he is going to have a child. And he says, how can this be? We're old, and me and my wife, we can't do that. So basically the angel Gabriel says, listen, you will have a child. It will be a special child. And but then after that, Gabriel was on his way to meet someone else. That's where we're going to pick it up here. We're going to pick it up here in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I want to remind you that when God says something like that, the angel says something, you have been found favor with God. God is always watching. God is watching how you live your life. He's watching how you do life, how you work in life, how you do all those things. He is watching. And here we find through the angel, he says this, you have been found with favor with God. Wow, what a great testimony that is. So we begin these testimonies, not only with the ones I've spoken, but also God gives testimony through an angel. And he says, now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be the great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the thrones of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And then Mary asked the angel, how can this be since I have not had sexual relations with a man? And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth, even when she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." What we see here a little bit also is the creativeness of God. God's very creative, the most creative being in the universe. He is very creative. He created the earth, he created all those things, and how he's going to use the Holy Spirit to overshadow Mary to have this baby. It's in his creative ways. See, God knows how to do what he wants to do. And he does it in a way that is just amazing. He shows his beauty in his creative way. But also, he also testifies and says, the angel says, "And will also remind you that Elizabeth, your cousin, pretty much, is also conceived a child in her old age." And here's a piece. Verse 38 says, "I am this Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. And in those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town of the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Just in those two verses, we see Mary is exactly what God says. Why she was found in favor. She has faith. She has faith. She took the word of this angel. She took the word and she says, first of all, "May it be done to me as God says it to be." She's not fighting what God's called her to do. She's not fighting what God has laid out in front of her. Not fighting what God going to make some major adjustments now. Because in culture, that would be a virgin being pregnant would be a disgrace. But God is creative. God does it in a way. And there's some things with Joseph, and that's another story for another day. But God takes care of even Joseph in this whole situation. But she says, "May it be done according to your word," to the word, right? But it's not. It doesn't stop there. It's really unique when it says this. Mary hurried to a town. Basically, it says Mary sets out and hurries to the town. She's heading to her cousin. She gets. I gotta go. You can't go unless you have faith. You can't go unless you have faith. This is why people have been called to things and don't want to go, because they don't have the faith to go. And you have to have that faith. And she's having that faith, and she goes and she enters into the house. This is where the joy begins. You see, you don't really know the joy of the Lord until you go with what God's called you to. If you can let go of what God's called you to, let go of the hardness of it, and you follow with God, then there's joy. There's a joy in it. But until you had let go of the stubbornness and the flesh part, you won't enjoy the joyfulness of God's calling. And here we see Elizabeth in verse 41. Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. This is a really cool part. The baby leaped inside of her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Here we find a couple of things. It's really awesome. First of all, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing piece. God can do that. God did it. He filled her with the Holy Spirit. She's able to say some things that she wouldn't be able to say on her own. And here it is. That baby leaps inside of her womb. So here it is. That's going to be John the Baptist. It'll be John. And there's a joy there. There's a joy there. There is a joy there. I'm going to share a verse with you over here in chapter 1, verse 6. Who is Elizabeth? Who is Zechariah? Here it is. Both were righteous in God's sight. It has nothing to do with what the neighbors think. It has nothing to do with cousins and uncles and grandparents, whatever it is. And both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. God's going to take that and he's going to turn it into a blessing. We got to remember, God still wants to bless us, but we got to let God be God. We got to quit taking the steering wheel and lead our own life. We got to let God lead it. And God says, those people are righteous in my sight. Now, we judge people and we judge harshly. I thank God that he doesn't judge so harshly. But even when he judges, there's mercy and there's grace, but it's also with perfection and with a holy righteousness. But this baby leaps inside of Elizabeth. Filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she explained with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, Blessed are you young, among women. So we have a woman that's filled with the Holy Spirit. We have a baby that leaped inside of her womb. How could that even happen? How could that even happen? And he says, then she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she, what is she really saying? She's saying, blessed you are among women. Here it is, the older lady is lifting up the younger lady. Culturally, that was different. This is a woman who says, honestly, that your kid and baby's going to be better than mine. And she has no problem with it. People get in there and they get into the sports program and everybody thinks that their kid is the number one ball player, right? My kid deserves the scholarship. My kid's smarter than everybody else. They deserve the scholarship. My kid, listen, this woman humbles with humility, lifting up another woman who is much younger than her. And she says, how could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord, she's also given testimony that the mother of my Lord, there it is, going to be the baby that you're carrying is my Lord. She says in verse 44, for you see, she says this, for you see, she wants to explain something. When the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside of me. So it wasn't that she saw Mary, she heard Mary go, Elizabeth, I'm here. Woo! An excitement. When mothers are pregnant, women are pregnant, sometimes they ask their husbands to feel. I just felt. And that's the most amazing feeling in the world. I loved it every time. Feel. Put your hand right here. And you see them kick. And it's like, oh, that's going to be a busy one, right? And you start that. And you start going with that. Here she's excited about that. And she says, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside of me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what has spoken to her. There was an excitement. There was a joy in the room. There was a complete joy in the room. Complete joy in the room. It's an amazing piece. An amazing piece here. So Elizabeth testifies who Jesus and the baby and all this is just an amazing piece that there's joy before even the birth of these boys. There's a joy that God gives them a moment, this pocket of a moment that nobody else is invited to except for Mary, Elizabeth, Zachariah, I'm sure is there somewhere. But we also know that God's there, but also the Holy Spirit's there. Wow. Even John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit. Babies. Man, what a room that would be in. You think you got to have all these muscle guys in there? Here it is, two special women. Two special babies inside of them. And it's God's plan that He's going to use both of them. But that's not the end of it. Mary says, oh, it's time for me to praise God now. I need to praise God. Here it is in verse 46. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but verse 46, and Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because He has looked with favor on the humble condition of His servant. The humble condition of His servant. Verse 51 says, He has done a mighty deed with His arms. He has scattered the proud because of their thoughts of their hearts. But He says in verse 52, He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. What she is saying, here it is, in those two positions that she is, she's not a woman of wealth. Probably a woman of lower stature as the world, lower economically. Isn't it awesome how God uses those that the world says aren't worth anything? And God didn't come in and say, I'm going to put my son in this. He's going to come in through the palace. He's going to be raised up with the kings and queens. No. I'm going to bring him in, and he's going to be born. He's going to be raised with some people that are just normal in one sense, but righteous in another. But the world will see it, that these people, there's nothing glorious about these people. But she's thanking and praising God that God has used the humble condition of herself. Never say God can't use you because of where you are in your stature in the world. God can take somebody from the bottom and raise them up. How do we know that? Because of verse 49, it says, because the Mighty One has done great things for me in His holy name. And His mercy from generation to generation. We know her name's going to be lifted up. And Mary stayed with her for about 3 months. What a good time to be. Sometimes you have family visits, you're ready for them to be done after a full weekend, right? But they enjoyed each other because guess what? It wasn't about that. They loved each other. Two women who weren't supposed to have babies at that moment, God intervened and made it happen. He made it happen in a way that only God can do. And then we have another testimony of this whole thing, and that is Zechariah. You see, Zechariah had a moment where he couldn't believe. He had a moment when the angel had visited him. I'm going to go back to verse 13. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. I want to remind you that when you pray, God hears your prayer. When you pray, God hears your prayer. Don't think that you're wasting time praying. God hears your prayer. Here's the thing. We're surprised when He answers. If we pray for something, why are we so surprised? This is what we're going to see. He says, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John. There will be a joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will never drink wine or beer. Here he goes. Ready? He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he is still in his mother's womb. Now, I did not receive the Holy Spirit until I come to Christ, and neither did you. But God has a way. He is the most creative. He knows. He has system. It's not going to be figured out all by us. It's His system, and you cannot figure out all the things and all those things of God. Some things are a mystery to us, and they are the private things of God. And God says, this baby will be filled with the Holy Spirit while in the mother's womb. That is an amazing piece. That is an amazing piece. For he will be great. And then it says in verse 16, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and to the disobedient, to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. What he's telling him is that your son is going to go out and he's going to prepare the way for Jesus. There's some things that need to be prepared, and the things that need to be prepared where people need to know that they're sinners. That they are sinners, and here he goes. And then here it is, in our flesh we do ask these things. How can I know this? Zechariah asked the angel, for I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. This is the most profound statement from an angel. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Now, you just wrestle with that for a moment. You've got an angel who stands in the presence of God and comes to the creation of God in human form and wondering why a person is asking, how can God do that when they're up in there in the majesty and all the things that are amazing. If you go to Isaiah 6, you go to Revelation, you see all the throne room of God, and you see an angel says, I stand in the presence of God, comes down and hears the person say, how can that be? Here's what he says. He goes, I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. That angel is obeying what God has for him, to tell him the good news. You're going to have a son. Now listen. You will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. A little bit of a discipline there, I'd say. But there is a difference. Some people would say, why didn't Mary get in trouble? Then why did Zechariah knew better? He was a priest. He was in the priest, chosen to go behind that curtain and speak to God and do all the things in prayers and all that. And that moment, God chose to reveal His plan for Zechariah and Elizabeth through this angel Gabriel. And he questioned God. And I want to tell you that sometimes we question God and thank God that we're more, that God gives us mercy and grace. But here it is. He says they've been praying for this. And when the answer comes in a most beautiful way, he questions it. So God is going to lock his lips up. Could you imagine having yourself where you couldn't talk for 9 months? Some of us would say, that would be awesome for someone else, but not for me. That would be great for someone else, but not for me, because we all love to talk. Yeah. When he comes out, everybody's like, oh my gosh, something must have happened. He saw a vision and he couldn't talk. Now verse 57, I want to read this. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son. And then the neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord has shown her his great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. There's joy in this whole thing. Everybody is rejoicing. It's a bigger picture than what they know. You see, there's a bigger picture in the joy. Here, let me just tell you, when someone comes to Christ, there's a joy. But it's not as big as the joy when someone has known Christ for a lifetime. Because they've seen God answer prayer. They've been a part of that. They've known some of the deeper things of the Word. And there should be a joy. Every Christmas comes around, we should be more joyful than those who don't know Christ for sure. And there should be more joyful those who are mature in Christ and have some years in it than those who've just become Christians. But it says, when they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother responded, no, we're to call him John. You see, that's why they were called righteous in God's sight. They do what God tells them to do. The angel said, that man is going to be John. Huh. Then they said, none of your relatives have that name. So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to call. They were like, listen, we're not going to listen to you. We need to go to Zechariah. What do you got? You know, get your tablet out, write it down. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, his name is John. And they were all amazed, and immediately his mouth opened. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to talk. He got something to say. And his tongue was set free, and he began to speak. And what did he do? He began to praise God. We're going to see this too in a moment. This is amazing. Fear came on all those who lived around them. And all these things were being talked about throughout all the hill country. And all heard about him, took it to heart, saying, when then will this child come? For indeed, the Lord's hand was with him. Big testimony from all the people. They're all gathered together. Now we're going to see what Zechariah has to say. His mouth is open after all those months. He's got something to say. He's not going to say, go get me this, give me that. He's going to praise God. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. Here's what he prophesied. Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. You notice he didn't say anything bad about God. God locked my mouth up. I'm angry with him. No, he's excited. Listen, he's happy that his tongue is released, but here it is. It's about this son. He gets to say something. He gets to hold his son, and not just hold, but he gets to speak to his son. He's prophesying, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people, taking the focus off of himself. You know, when you're really praising God, you know what you do? You take the focus off yourself. You put it on God, and you put it on what he's doing. And he has raised up a horn. Here it is. That be Jesus, of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He is prophesying that amazing peace. And he talks a little bit more. But then he goes in verse 76. And he says, and you, child, he's talking about his baby now, will be called a prophet of the Most High. Nobody likes second place. Not really. Let me tell you, this is not second place. Anytime you do anything for the Lord, it's never second place. It's the right place. It has nothing to do because Jesus is always first place. So whenever you do anything, it's just the right place. Don't have to be in competition or anything. He says, for you will go before the Lord and prepare His ways to give His people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because our God's mercy is merciful and compassion. And the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. What He is saying is this. Hope is coming. Hope is coming. And John the Baptist, his baby, will grow. And he will be the forerunner. And he will speak to people about their sins. And he will be somewhat, some people say, that he is hard on people. But he's just sharing the people that we're all sinners. And we all need to come to the saving knowledge that they need a Savior. Scripture says some things about this man named John. Jesus says this, truly I tell you, among them born of women, no one greater than John the Baptist has appeared. But he also says, but in the least of the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John himself, when he's in his ministry role, does say this. There comes a time when his disciples are wondering, why is Jesus getting the crowds? Why is Jesus and his disciples getting more crowds than you, John? And John says, it's time for me. It's time for him to increase and time for me to decrease. That's not going down to second or third place. That's being in the right place. Mary was in the right place. Zechariah was in the right place. Behind the curtain, right where God wanted him to be, to tell him the news. You're going to be a dad. Gabriel was in the right place, sharing what he needed to share. Still blows me away in the presence of God. One that stands in the presence of God. Folks, because of this, we will one day stand in the presence of God. We won't need angels to deliver messages anymore. We won't need to be visited in those ways anymore. We will be home. We will be in our place where we need to be and where we need to go and where we are going because we have Christ. As you get older, those things become more and more relevant, knowing that because of Jesus, Jesus is the way. He is the truth and He is the light. Before there was a scene in the manger, there was this scene in Zechariah's home. Where the joy of the Lord came in and consumed this home with the Holy Spirit inside of these babies. What a beautiful home it had to be. Not by the looks, but by the hearts of the people. People love to gravitate to homes that have love in it. Where Jesus is praised, and God is honored. And I'm hoping and wondering, will your home look likewise this Christmas? Not everyone has Jesus. Not everyone has this gift. This gift is hope. John the Baptist is not here anymore. He can't foretell. He did his role. He did his job. And now it is our turn. Yet we're even afraid to say Jesus in front of our family at Christmas time. We're afraid to pray over the meal in front of our family. Christmas time. All you got to do is say, hey, y'all mind if I say a blessing over this food? God is watching. God is just watching all the things that we do wrong. God's watching the things we do right. God's wanting us and cheering us on to do the things that are right. We need to take this time of celebration and be joyful into that we have received the gift of what they've already got, that Holy Spirit that we need to be, and knowing that we've received the gift of salvation. And that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. and Christ alone. Salvation came because God loved us. It came perfect. It came humbly and gave us eternal life. That gift opens the door from damnation to citizenship with the Lord, but also came at the cost of blood and life. I think that kind of tells us how serious it really is. But before all that, I love it because God allows times of joy. You see, Easter's on the horizon. It's coming in a few months when we celebrate that. But God gives us a moment to joy, not only at Easter, but also at the birth of Christ, being where we're supposed to be in that moment. I want to close with this morning, that each one of them have a testimony. Gabriel had a testimony. The Holy Spirit testified. Mary testified. Elizabeth testified. And Zechariah testified. They testified about all the things that came to one focal point, Jesus himself. My question for you today is, can you testify, and what do you testify about? Do you testify that Jesus is Lord? Can you testify what God has done in your life? Can you testify that you're doing what God is calling you to do, whether you like it or not? Do you testify that you are trying to be an obedient believer of Christ? And when you can do that, and when you do that, and it's not impossible, when you do that, because you feel like you can't, but you can do it with the Holy Spirit. It's funny how we use Scripture when we want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But when God calls us to do something, we don't use that verse. We don't use verses when we're rebelling against God. If you can't acknowledge that Christ is your Savior, then you are lost. You don't have the gift. You've heard of the gift, but you don't have the gift. Today the gift is offered to you as it always is here. But I want to remind you that you have a time and place in life, and this is your time now. We're all in the same moment and place right here. John had his moment and was amazing. Jesus says there's no other great other born to men, born to women, than John the Baptist. He's just doing what God called him to do, that's all. And may you do what God's called you to do. And I believe that God wants us all to be right with him today so that you can experience the true joy of what this whole Jesus is all about. Father, as we come to a moment and place, we just pray, Father, that our hearts would be right with you, knowing that you've called and you've given and you answered prayer in this story. You testified with your Holy Spirit about the whole thing. Just so much is going on in here. But I thank you for the joy of it. I thank you the joy that these two special women, you gave them joy. I pray, Father, Lord, that we would have joy. And those who have lost their joy in their salvation, I pray, Father, that you would restore the joy of their salvation. We lift this time up to you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand for this.